we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Church, Plano, Texas. We aren't a mega church, but we're a mighty church. What makes us mighty? He makes us mighty. His truth makes us mighty. His love makes us mighty. It says that you are more than conquerors through him who loves you. That's what makes us mighty. Praise God. Can we give that God a hand? He's in the place. We've worshiped him. We've thanked him. I'm so glad everybody's here. We're kicking off a brand new sermon series today, and it is called First Love. First love. Love is central to life. Yes. Love is central to happiness. All right. It is central to faith. Yeah. We are quick to say love is important, aren't we? Especially as Christians. Man, we are quick to tell people that love is important, but our lives don't always reflect that truth. All right. We remember our first love. Right? Anybody ever have a first love? Did you ever have a first crush? Yeah. We had a first crush. Anybody? I remember third grade, I had a first crush. I didn't even understand crushes. But all I remember about her is her name was Carrie. I don't remember her last name. Who knows where she is, Carrie? Wherever you are, it's too late. I found a wonderful lady named Sarah. I wish you all the best. All right. Carrie, she's my first crush. We remember our first song. Right? Everybody makes a big deal. Oh, we met and we heard the song. That song played, and now that is our song. All right? And it was some terrible song, like Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon. It's like, oh, what does this go about? All right, our first dance. That would also be a terrible first dance song, right? You remember your first dance? Our first memories are often the ones we hold most dear. Who remembers the first movie you saw with your love? Anybody remember that? Anybody remember the first movie that you saw, or maybe the first restaurant you went? Maybe you remember your first words. My first words were, hey, those are some pink shoes. My first words to my wife right there. Yeah. Praise the Lord, she fell in love with me immediately. Hallelujah. Those are powerful words right there. Well, love is a powerful thing. Can I tell you that first love is intense? As we're remembering what it was like to have that first crush, that first love, that first kiss, all of that. When you first fall in love, it's a really intense experience. When you fall in love, you don't always think rationally. I mean, it's so intense that you don't even think straight. I'll share a little of my experience when I met Sarah. We met and we went out on a few dates. And somewhere in there, I'm not even really sure where it happened, Jonathan, but I just fell head over heels in love with Sarah. And I spent time with her, like crazy amounts of time, crazy amounts of time. I spent money on her. I spent money that I really didn't necessarily have. I looked everywhere else in my life and said, I don't really need to eat all day because I'm going to eat with Sarah tonight. And I want to be able to pay for that meal. And so I won't go anywhere else. I'll just stay at the house because I need gas enough. Like my whole money system completely changed. I tried new things with her. I tried brand new things, things I wouldn't normally do, things I really didn't like. I'm like, I love to go shop and let's just go to stores. That's great. That's great. It's excellent. It's great because you're there. All right. The center of my entire lifestyle changed. I didn't just sit around and watch NBA basketball all day long. All right. I caught all the highlights and recorded the games afterwards. But it was intense is what I'm saying. My whole life changed in an intense way. What I was feeling inside was intense. everything. I could not imagine not seeing her. I could not imagine not being able to speak to her. Does anybody relate to this kind of first love intensity? Here's just one example. I would drive all the way from my home in Richardson, Texas. If you know the area, it's at the corner of Beltline and Jupiter. All the way down there in Richardson, Texas. And I would drive all the way up to Allen, Texas around 6 a.m. I would get to her house so I could pick her up and drive her up to McKinney, Texas to drop her off at her job. I would then go to a nearby cafe, Cafe Brazil over there in McKinney. Sadly, it's closed now. Tears. But I would stay there and I would office with my laptop. I would stay there until lunchtime. And then I'd quickly get in my car. I'd drive over to her cafeteria and I'd have a 30-minute lunch with her. And then I'd go back to Cafe Brazil. There was a Chris Fluitt-shaped chair at this Cafe Brazil. I'm not kidding. I would stay there until the end of her work session. And then I'd shut down my laptop in enough time to go pick her up. Now we're going to spend the rest of the day together. My whole day was surrounded with Sarah. And man, it was irrational. It was insane. And baby, you better believe it was so worth it. It was so worth it because just those few minutes, I got to see her and take her to work. Just those few minutes, I got to have lunch with her. I was just right there, right on the spot so I could have the rest of my day with her. And let me tell you, it was absolutely exhausting. I would get home like at 2 a.m. going, what a great day. And I'd just be out. I can't wait till the 5 a.m. alarm sounds so I can do it all over again. That is some intense love, right? It's pretty intense. Not irrational, not rational, but completely worth it. Maybe you recognize the words of the great prophet. When a man loves a woman, can't keep his mind on nothing else. He'll trade the world for the good he's found. If she's bad, he can't see it. I'm not getting any amens in here. She can do no wrong. Turn his back on his best friend if he were to put her down. When a man loves a woman, spend his very last dime trying to hold on to what he needs. He'd give up all his comfort, sleep out in the rain if she said that's the way it ought to be. When a man loves a woman. That's not in your Bible, right? It's Percy Sledge, right? Yeah. Or that other guy, Michael Bolton. All right. Too often, we forget how it felt when we first fell in love. All right. That should not just be some kind of distant memory. All too often, that is just such a distant memory when a man and woman are standing at a divorce court. It's very sad. That same love we felt, it should still be in our hearts somewhere. No matter where you are in life, no matter how long you've been together, there ought to be some of that kind of love, that kind of intensity inside of your heart. That willingness to put them first. That willingness that said, what time do I have to get up to see you? I will be there. What do I have to do to be with you? I will do that. I am with you. Whether it's romantic love, okay, we're going to focus really on romantic love today, but I also want to tell you, also family love. The love between children, a friendship love, your normal relationships outside of the home, and even a God love, your relationship with God. It is important that the love we felt at first stays in our hearts. Right. Got to stay in our heart. The love we give and receive is really a gift. Love is a gift. I want to talk to you about some gifts of love. When we first fall in love, these gifts just kind of start flowing out of us. Sometimes you didn't even know these gifts were there. Sometimes they are not a talent at all, but you will start exploring new ways to gift your love. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like you will try your hand at cooking. All right. Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. You'll put that good microwave to work. You will just scour the internet to find out how to cook, right? Do you love cooking? Maybe not, but it is your gift of love, and hopefully it doesn't accidentally poison someone. All right, hopefully. All right, how about time, spending time? And so you're constantly, in fact, you're looking at your schedule like time, and whereas you might let things creep into your schedule, you won't let those rule the day anymore. You got time to spend with someone that you love, so you got your time, and so your whole time changes. How about housekeeping? How many know about a single guy having a girl over to his place? How many know about that? It's like, oh my gosh, how can anyone ever come into this? And you're just like, clean. Let's just throw it all away and start over, right? You'll clean out of love, and it's this gift. Also, you don't want to know your slop, but also, it's a gift, yeah. Right? It's a gift. I want you to have a nice, clean place to stay and be with me, keeping house, dusting, doing dishes. How about words of affection? That doesn't even cost a thing, but maybe texting charges do apply. But you'll text, you'll say sweet things, you'll say nice things. How about your money? How about gifts? You'll buy gifts, give gifts, right? Oh man, it's been like a day. I should get her something, right? You're gonna pull out your wallet. You're gonna gift something. How about physical touch? Just a hug. How about sharing her workload? Helping with babies, helping with other things. So you've got all these things that come out of love. Let me tell you, at 2 a.m. when you are in bed and you hear that diaper explosion, it is love that says, okay, I heard it, I'm going to get a diaper, and you get out of bed. Okay, that is a gift of love. All right, we've got all these gifts working in our life. So when we started, when we fell in this intense love, these things, no one had to tell you to do these things. They started flowing out of you. Some of you, y'all wrote poems. Some of you, back in the day, they would make mixtapes or mix CDs. Now what are you doing? You're just creating playlists or something. Hey, check this out on Pandora. It's our songs. We put them all together. But we're doing all these things. Why?
Love.
And these are gifts. Everyone said they're gifts. A great book to read about showing love in your relationships, I would highly recommend it. It's The 5 Love Languages by Gary Chapman. He gives you 5 love languages. Sometimes it is not that someone's trying to show you love, that someone's not trying to show you love. Sometimes it's that they're not speaking your language, right? It's a great book, 5 Languages of Love. We don't have time to even go into all that today, but go check that out. When you intensely love someone, that first love kind of feeling, you end up operating from love. Every thought starts at love. Every emotion starts at love. And can I tell you, it feels great. It feels wonderful. And you're like on cloud 9, all right? It's wonderful. Giving and sacrificing, it could feel like loss in other situations. But not in this situation, because it's out of love. When they are done out of love, it doesn't feel like a loss. It feels like a win. It feels triumphant. Amen?
Yeah.
The love first way of living does not come natural. It really doesn't. It takes a lot of work. And there might be some things that kind of come out of you naturally at first. But man, in the long haul of things, of a life together, it takes some time. It takes a learning curve. How many know I'm right? Somewhere along the way, something happens, and we may stop operating from love. We may start operating from something else. We might start operating from expectation. And this is a sly little thing I want to talk to you about today. This is the crux of everything I'm going to talk to you today about, how to keep love first in your life. When we did things out of love, we saw that it was an opportunity. Oh, I get to do this for her. I get to buy this for her. I get to spend this time with her. I get to do these things. They are out of love. They are opportunities. When we do things out of expectation, it becomes an assignment. When we do things out of expectation, it becomes a job. Sometimes it becomes a burden and a chore. Anybody know where I'm going with this? That's what it's like to do things out of expectation. Expectations can be a burden. And so these things that they came so freely out of here, they're like, well, I need to spend some time. Let me look at my schedule. Now, do you feel the difference? I get to spend time. I've got to spend this time with her. Oh, the house is a mess. I got to clean this house. We just cleaned it. Amen. No, I did not hear that. I am asleep. I did not hear that baby explosion. No, I'm not, no. I think we'll just go out to eat today. No, I don't have the time. All these things, they used to be in this love. They used to come out of love. They start coming out of expectation. And this was triumphant coming out of love. But this right here, it feels very, very different. These expectations, they can be a burden. Keeping house. Right now, some of you are dreading going home because your house is there. And there are also clothes. We have this wonderful place that we put all of our clothes. It's called our furniture. All right. And it's just like it stacks up and it's like, oh my goodness, we're having Connect Group. We're so thankful to have Connect Group. It makes us clean our home. Cooking. Oh my goodness, you've had this long, hard day. And now we have to pile on this other thing that I have to do. Do you feel all the difference in this language from love and from expectation? How about this one? This one people don't want to talk about. It gets kind of awkward, but physical intimacy. No, we have to do this because, you know, it's just, we have to do this. We have to be together. Are you serious? That would become an expectation. Oh, yeah. When it's not done out of love, it will quickly start coming out of an expectation. Can I tell you that cultures have ever-changing expectations? So you could have your expectations inside of you. But then you have culture around you saying, this is what you ought to expect from your husband. This is what you ought to expect from your wife. This is what you ought to expect from your children. This is what you ought to expect from your friendship. This is what you ought to expect from God. These are all these expectations they're giving you. And guess what? Are they consistent? No. It's like Pinterest. It's like all over the place. It's like, this is a terrible thing you should never do. You should always do the exact same thing. It's all over the place. Culture's ever-shifting list of expectations. Let's just go a little deeper. You know what? I expect her to cook a little better. A little more like my mom used to cook. Well, you know what? I expect him to be like my father. The way my father raised us. And you know what? When it comes to budgets, oh man, people are all over the place on how to spend their Benjamins. They're more like their George Washingtons around our home. But we've got all these expectations. Well, my family growing up never did that. Right? Expectations. Everything you talk about. Two people enter a relationship. And they come to the place where they walk down an aisle just like this aisle. And they meet up at the altar. And before everybody and God, before God and everybody, they make these promises and they say, I do. And at that moment, we read the wonderful scripture about how two now become one flesh. And the bridal march plays and they walk down the aisle with two very different sets of expectations. It's like they walk down the aisle, they're supposed to be one person, but they're both carrying different boxes full of expectations. And man, it is a rude awakening sometimes when you meet around the kitchen table and say, well, I wasn't expecting you to handle arguments like this. Well, I wasn't expecting you to bring up dumb arguments. And I wasn't expecting you to spend so much time at the office. Well, I wasn't expecting us. Goes on and on and on. We're supposed to be one flesh. But we've got all these expectations. Here's some problems with operating from expectation instead of love. Number one, I want you to know, you are robbed of giving love. When you are trying to fulfill someone else's expectation, when you are trying to fulfill culture's expectation, you are ultimately robbed of giving love. Right? Here's an example. Here's a very close to home example. It's a very literal example. It's from Chris Fluitt's life. Chris Fluitt is standing at the sink. His mom, his wife has just made an incredible dinner, and now she is taking care of the children, and I am at the worst place in the world. I'm in front of the kitchen sink, and I'm cleaning these dishes, and it's like, I gotta clean all these dishes. I can't see. Why do we even use this plate? Gosh, why can't we just use one fork instead of 12 forks? Cleaning all this stuff up, I don't like it. But I gotta do it because she cleaned this meal. I gotta do something useful around here. And I'm hating. Do I sound like I enjoy what I'm doing?
No.
I'm looking at it through the lens of expectation. But here's the truth. It's an opportunity to show love. It's an opportunity to love my wife and say, you've worked all day and you've come home and you've cooked us a wonderful meal. And now you're taking care of the children. Let me take care of this. You see, that's a gift of love right there. That's coming out of love. That's coming from a love motivation. And I rob myself of giving her that gift when I begrudgingly, I'm like, I gotta do all this laundry. I've gotta go clean. I've gotta go mow the lawn. I've gotta go take the kids to school. When I come out of that expectation, I rob myself of giving love. Do you see what I'm talking about? Are you with me? That becomes a chore. Can I tell you something? I'll say this to my wife. I don't want you to be faithful to my expectations. I want you to be faithful to me. I don't want to be faithful to your expectations. I want to be faithful to you. There's a big difference there. There's a big difference there. So you could be robbed of giving love. You could also be robbed of receiving love, right? There is this wonderful expectation that is a part of life. Let's say it like this. Okay, I got something in the mail the other day, right? It was wonderful. It was from my Chase credit card, and they said, "Dear Chris Fluitt, thank you so much for paying your bill. You know what? You're really good at that. You're just always paying your bill. You've never been late. We're just so happy. You know, here's a $5 gift card. We just love you so much." Who believes that story happened? No. No one thanks you for doing what was expected. No credit card company, no mortgage company says, you know what? You've been so good at doing what's expected of you that we're just going to, you know, bless you and make and treat you well. And no, but if I don't keep up with the bills, if I don't keep up with what Chase's terms of service clearly say, if I don't keep up with the expectations, guess what? Then I get the piece of mail. And it's addressed to me. In fact, if I miss enough of those payments, I get a phone call. Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
Why? Because I stopped fulfilling the expectations. You see, there's a terrible trick here. Because if you fulfill the expectations, it's like, well, what do you want? You want a pony? You want a balloon with that? You want some cake and ice cream? You were supposed to do that. Get over it. That is what expectations do. So if I'm in an expectation frame of mind, if my wife is in an expectation frame of mind, there's no big deal. There's no celebration. Well, you were supposed to do that. You were expected to do that. Versus, thank you for doing that. That was love that you gave me, and now I give you love. And when your spouse does something and you look at her like, well, she should have done that. That means you're not going to celebrate what she did. That means you're not going to love what she did. That means that she should have done that. You follow me? Are you with me? So there's no reward in just fulfilling the expectation. There is reward in love. So it will rob you of giving love. It will rob you of receiving love. And then last, I'll say this. It leads to deal keeping. And this one gets really ridiculous. Most marriages that are like in trouble are somewhere in this mess. Well, here I did this. I fulfilled these expectations. Where are yours? It's your turn now. So then that person goes, okay, I fulfilled this expectation. Here it is. And then you take that and you go, all right. And then you wait for the next person to fulfill the expectation, right? Because you got to fulfill the next expectation, or guess what happens? Well, I'm not doing that because you didn't do that. You get scorekeeping, which the Bible clearly tells us love keeps no record of wrong. It keeps no score. But when you do it by expectations, like, well, you expected me to clean house, but I expected you to do this other thing that you didn't do. And you just bring it up because I'm going to tell you all the expectations that you have fallen short on. And when you do that, Buster, then I'll give you what you expect. Doesn't that just sound like a glorious, wonderful marriage? Can I tell you, many, many, many marriages fall into that trap. And if we're honest today, I'm hoping that we will look at our life and say, what have we been doing? You see, that's not a love motivation. That is an expectation. That is a deal struck. You know that marriage is not supposed to be a deal that is struck. It's supposed to be love that is flowing through and to each person, and God's included in the scenario. With expectations, you're robbed of giving love, you're robbed of receiving love, and you start deal keeping. Now, I want to make something very clear here. Maybe you're thinking about it. Maybe you're worried about it. I want to clear your thoughts here. Expectations aren't bad. Nothing wrong with expectations. This is not a war against expectations. We're not preaching lowered expectations, right? Everyone is going to have expectations. Everyone. In fact, it's impossible not to have expectations. When you walked into church today, you had expectations. When I started this sermon, you had expectations. When I pulled out a second box, you started having expectations, right? You all have expectations. Here's some other words for expectations. Dreams. You're going to have dreams. How about desires? You're going to have desires. How about hopes and wishes? Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with having these things, but your expectations can never reward you like love can reward you. Your expectations can never reward you like love can reward you. How many know that's true? Can I tell you something? I'm not telling you to get rid of all expectations and not expect anything from each other ever again. That's not the point. What I'm trying to tell you is to keep love first. Can you keep love first? Can you keep love first to such a degree that you are only operating from love? It's what you operate from. It's the lens by which you look through that other person with. It is the filter through which you speak. It is what you keep first. What if Jesus would have operated toward us from the expectation box? What would that have looked like? Well, I would have come to earth, but you know, those sorry suckers have never done what I told them to do. Could he have said it? Absolutely. But he never operated towards us from the expectation box. There is a thief on the cross who turns to him and says, remember me. And he says, no, you need to get off the cross and fulfill some of these expectations. Here's a list. It's a long list of expectations. You got to fulfill these. And then you can be with me today in paradise. No, he says, today, right now, you will be with me in paradise. Nothing about expectations. What is he operating from? Oh, you better believe it. Jesus Christ operates from love. Now, you and I, when we get in a religious mindset, we think that religion is all about keeping expectation. We think that being a Christian is all about, well, I got to do all these things. Well, I got to repent. I got to be baptized. I got all these things that I got to do. And all those things are, well, they're important. Not telling you they aren't. But I'm telling you, God never operated through those systems of expectation. He has always operated towards you in love. Love has always been first. Thankfully, Jesus has only been motivated by love. Love is always first. He commands that we keep love first in our relationships. Let's finally look at a scripture here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, right here, he is speaking to men and women that are married. That is the context of what he's speaking to you. Number one, can I tell you, in an ancient civilization, these are crazy words. These are radical words. Because in their mind, it was always women should submit to the man. That was always the idea, especially in the ancient world. Today, we still have some issues with that. But right here, he says something crazy. He says, submit to one another. Can I tell you, you could just pass over that verse in your Bible, but no, that is staggering. That is earth-shattering that he says, men, you need to submit to her. What? Say again, Paul? That was totally counter-cultural. Can I tell you, submit to one another out of, help me finish that verse, out of, what? For who?
For Christ.
Not, whoa. You submit to one another out of reverence to one another.
No.
I mean, he could have said that. That makes sense, right? That's how most of us live, right? How about we'll submit to one another based on how we feel about them at the moment, right? Well, you're on my bad list, so, you know, I'm not going to submit to you. Or how about this, your track record? You know, I would do this for you. I would submit to you. I would give you this act of love, but, you know, I've got this record of wrongs that you've done. No, you're supposed to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This tells you something real quick here. This tells you in every situation you should submit to one another.
All right.
Because your reverence for Christ has never hit a low. Your reverence for Christ has never gone down because he's never done something that's deserving anything other than high praise and honor, right? Okay, we're looking on verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands. This is the very next verse. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Serve out of love is what he's saying. Serve out of love. How you treat them and how you submit to them, it is out of love because you love the Lord. Because he's been so good to you. Now you're going to be just as good to your, now this is crazy because here's the deal. This is how we think things. Okay, God, you've been so good to me. What can I do for you? And God looks at you and says, "Serve your husband." Well, I mean, yeah, I could do that. But what about you, God? You've been really good. Serve your husband. Yeah, but well. Not so much. He, you know, you're glorious and wonderful. How about I do something for you? Yeah, you can do something for me. Serve your husband. That's what's happening here. That's the picture. You want to serve the Lord? Serve your husband. That's, what are you telling? God's crazy, isn't he? Isn't this awesome of God? Here, you. That's how much he loves the family. That's how much he loves marriage. You want to love me? Love your wife. Love your husband. It's right there. Put him above your expectations. But I got these expectations. No, serve your husband as unto the Lord. You get it? Put him above your expectations. Goes on a few verses, verse 25, Ephesians 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Are there any qualifiers here? Love your wives if they deserve it. Love your wives if they are good housekeepers. Love your wives if they fulfilled your qualifications and your expectations. Absolutely not. He says this. He looks right at the men and he says, give yourself up in love. Whatever your expectations are, throw them out of the way and give yourself up in love, just like Christ has done for the church. That's his picture of love. That's his picture of marriage. And it is strong and it is powerful. And I would challenge you today, we aren't living that, and we should be living that. This is an intense love. You talk about intense love, we're talking about the love of Jesus on the cross for us, dying for the church, giving himself up for the church. You talk about an intense, crazy kind of love, way crazier than Chris Fluitt ever was when he first fell in love with Sarah. Way crazier. This is a first love kind of love. Now, we have focused on romantic relationships today, but these instructions, it relates to all your relationships. It relates to parents and children. Parents and children, don't operate just slowly on expectations. Sure, I know we have rules in our house. I know there's some things we need to do, but let me tell you, everything needs to operate from love, right? We got friendships and we're like, oh my goodness, those friends really let me down. Well, you can go down that road and it'll just end in you losing a friend. Or you could operate from love and let's see what happens there. And how about this, your relationship with God? Well, let's just go there. We're talking about first love. How many remember that first love that you felt for God when you had that encounter with him and he forgave you of your sins? Was that an intense kind of love situation?
Yeah.
And you met him and he didn't meet you with any expectation list, even though because you would fall way short of his glory, right? Romans 3:23. But he met you with love. You remember that? Let me tell you. Now we make a mistake of turning back to him in expectation. In our worship, sometimes we're just like, well, God, what have you done for me lately? Why should I worship you lately? Because I haven't been getting everything I want to get. You know, I've got a runny nose today, Lord. And I think that's kind of your fault because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made for you. You're not living up to your bargain. So when you start doing that, maybe I'll worship you. Oh, come on now. That's not how you came to know him. That's not how you walked up and gave your life to him. That's not how you prayed to him when you knew nothing on how to get to God. And you're like, can you share with me how to get to God? And you know, that place where you were, you didn't understand anything. Lamb, why is he a lamb? What's that all? You didn't have a clue about that. But you understood there was something calling you out, and it was love. It wasn't judgment. It was love, even though you fell short of the expectation. Let me tell you, we need to come back to that place of first love with Jesus Christ. We need to be very close to that place. That should not be a far off memory. Well, I remember this one time I cried when the Lord loved me, but you know, that was 20 years ago. No, we need to get back to that place where we're operating out of love. We got Job. He says, though he slay me, though my life does not show up, turn out like it's expected, still I will praise him. Man, that's some crazy love. That's some first love. That's some intense love. Man, we need Redemption Church. Can we be a God-loving church? We're just as crazy in love with him as that first time we met him. Love is central to life. It is central to happiness. It is central to faith. We are quick to say love is important. We're quick to sing about love at church. But our lives don't always reflect this truth. I'm drawing to a close very quickly. I want to encourage you today to return to your first love. In the book of Revelation, there is a message from God. Sound important yet? A message from God to the church of Ephesus. If God, if you opened up your mailbox tomorrow and there was a message from God in it, or in your Gmail account for God Mail, and you open that up, would you read that? Would you pay attention to that?
Yes.
Well, this is a message to this church, and it starts with glowing praise. Look at it, Revelations 2 and 3. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Oh, this is a great letter. It's really good. But then this happens, Revelations 2 and 4. Yet I hold this against you. Uh-oh. Well, this letter's turning out different. You have forsaken your first love. They lost their love. This is the church we're talking about. It didn't say they lost the gospel. It didn't say they lost really important information in their Bible. It didn't say they lost how to be a church, do church. It said that they lost their love. I want to paint you a picture. Ephesus is still meeting, having church services. They're still having Bible studies. They're still winning people to Jesus. They're still baptizing people. They're seeing powerful things happen. They're still being everything that a church is supposed to be, minus one thing. They are no longer in love with the God they're worshiping. Can I tell you something? That can happen. Can I tell you something, Redemption Church? That could be us if we aren't careful. That can be you in your life. They lost their intense passion that they used to have in the beginning. Can I tell you that your marriage, you can forsake your first love and grow cold from it? That your parenting, you could lose track of love. You could get so frustrated and angry that you lose track of that love you had when you first looked down and saw that child and you said those words over them like, I will always love you, I'll always be with you. But now, maybe they're teenagers. Redemption Church, can I tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ, we could forsake our love. Got two things for you here. Here is what I want you to know. If we are operating from some other motivation than love, we have lost our first love. If we are operating from some other motivation, I've talked to you before in the past about a fear motivation instead of a love motivation. Here's an expectation kind of motivation, a duty type of motivation, whatever your motivation is. If you are operating from some other motivation than love, you have lost your first love. That's what I want you to know. Know it well. Look at your life. Take that truth and look over your life with a fine comb and see what comes up. Now, here's what I want you to do. It's what God told the church of Ephesus to do. This is Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. Remember the height which you have fallen from. Remember the height from which you have fallen from. What is he talking about? Do you remember how high your love was? You've forsaken your first love. But here's what I want you to do, Ephesus. Could you just take a moment and remember how good that love was? Can you remember how intense that love was? Can you remember some of the things that love made you do, called you to do, and it was irrational? It didn't even make sense, but baby, it was worth it. That kind of first love. Can you remember that height from which you have fallen? Then he tells them to do this. Repent and do the things you did at first. So here's what I want you to do. We're going to stop right there on that verse. Here's what I want you to do today. I want you to remember, and I want you to repent. We understand remembering, right? You need to remember some of the stories when it comes to your relationships, whatever those relationships are, be it a God relationship, being with your marriage, being with friendship, your children, whatever that relationship is, remember. Remember that first time you saw them. Remember that first time you made a promise. Remember that time you bared your soul to them. Remember that time they forgave you. Remember that time they served you. Remember that time they served you today. Remember it. Remember it. Hold it close. Remember it. And then repent. What does repentance mean? We got to know what repentance means. It means you need to turn around. It means you need to stop the mess that you're doing. If you're living out of any other motivation than love, stop it today. Stop it. That argument you've been getting into, I guarantee you, it's not been out of love. Stop it. That bitter, the passive-aggressive little war, you know what passive-aggressive is? When you have a passive-aggressive war and it's like, wait, are we fighting? I don't know if we're fighting. Are we fighting? It seems like we're fighting. What are we fighting about? I don't remember anymore. Passive-aggressive. Well, fine. Passive-aggressive. That's not love. Cut it out. Stop it. Be convicted about it. Feel bad when you do it. Stop it. Remember and repent from that. Turn back. Remember that repentance means to turn around. So you turn around from that mess. Turn around from that expectation trap and face your love again. Remember when you used to operate from love and repent. Stop operating from expectation. Start operating from love. Here's what's so wonderful. You've got all these dreams. You've got all these wishes. You've got all these hopes. And one day you even expect that they'll happen. But if you're trying to put love in your expectations, like, I want love my way. I want love to always be me. I want love to be just how I expect to, it's never going to work. It never fits. But if you will take all your expectations and say, you know what? They come second. They come less than love. Now you can have everything that you ever wanted. But you can have it in the best way. You can have it in love. See, that's what it means to come to Jesus. It's what it means to come to Jesus. You have everything you ever wanted, everything you ever hoped for, and it's found in His love. Do you believe that the person sitting next to you, that you can have really everything you ever wanted and ever needed in their love?
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.